Chapter 3. The Interview. You can't wear your usual crazy clothes. You must wear a suit to the interview, Mum said, looking down at my green skirt and red boots. You can borrow mine. The suit looked nice, but the skirt was a bit small. And please don't wear purple tights with it, or one of your strange hats. Try to look like a normal person. I took the bus to Granter House, which was on the other side of Stortford Castle to our house. It was huge and posh, like a house you saw in magazines. When I walked up to it, the door suddenly opened and a woman came out. She was in her 40s or 50s, and she was still beautiful. She was wearing an expensive-looking suit. "Are you Miss Clark?" she said in a posh voice. "Yes, I'm Louisa," I said. "Please come in. My name is Camilla Traynor." She sounded tired. I followed her to a huge room with high windows and lots of paintings. "Please, sit down," she said. I sat down and waited while she looked through her papers. And then I heard it, the sound of my skirt tearing. I felt my face turn red. "So, Miss Clark, do you have any experience of working with quadriplegics?" Mrs. Traynor asked. "No," I replied, and I tried to pull my suit jacket down over the tear. "Do you know what a quadriplegic is?" I said, not feeling sure. "Is it when you're in a wheelchair?" "Well, yes, you can say that," Mrs. Traynor replied without smiling. "My son cannot use his legs, and he can only move his hands a little. It's enough to move his wheelchair around the annex, but not much more." "Is that a problem for you?" "It's not as much a problem for me as it is a problem for him," I joked and smiled. But she did not smile back. The tear was getting bigger. I was frightened to stand up, because I knew that she would see it. "I have a reference from your last job," she said. "It says you are a warm, kind and funny person." "I paid him to write that," I joked. Still, she did not smile. "And what do you want to do with your life?" she asked. I don't know," I replied stupidly. "I just want to work again." Mrs. Traynor put down her pen. "Miss Clark, this job is only for 6 months," she said. "That's why the money is, well, good. We want the right person. My son, Will, was in a road accident 2 years ago. He has to be looked after day and night. He has a nurse, and the new person will need to be here from 8 to 5 to help Will with food and drink, and to talk to him. We want somebody who is happy and friendly." Mrs. Traynor stood up, and I guessed that was the end of the interview. "I see," I said. And I began to stand up too. I tried to pull my bag over the tear, but I knew that she could see it. "So would you like the job?" she asked, walking towards the door. "We need you to start as soon as possible." For a moment, I couldn't speak. "You will learn that Will is not an easy person to be with," she continued. "So, will we see you tomorrow?" "Won't I meet him today?" I asked. "He's not having a good day today. It's better if you start tomorrow," she replied. She was already by the door, waiting for me. "Yes," I said. "Thank you. I'll see you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning." "This is the annex," Mrs. Traynor said the next morning. "It's good for Will because there are no stairs. That's Will's room. And there is another bedroom for Nathan, his nurse, when he needs to stay here. He stayed here a lot, immediately after the accident." She walked quickly through the hall, opening door after door. "The keys to his car are there," she said. "You can drive it. It has a special ramp, and Nathan will show you how it works. This is the kitchen. You can make yourself tea and coffee here," she said, walking into a large, clean kitchen with a white floor. Then she turned. "It's very important that Will is never alone for more than 15 minutes. If you have to go out, please call me or my husband. If you're ill or can't work for a day, please let us know as soon as possible." "I won't go anywhere," I replied. "When Will is doing something, please do some cleaning if the annex needs it," she said, coming to a door. "Wash the bed sheets. Vacuum the floors. He may want to be alone sometimes, but please stay near him. I hope you will be friends. Are you ready to meet him?" And without waiting for my answer, she knocked on the door. "Miss Clark is here, Will. Can we come in?" she called. There was no answer. She pushed open the door to the living room, which was very large and had a fire burning in one corner. One wall was glass, and you could see trees and hills through it. In the middle of the room, a man was sitting in a black wheelchair. Another man was kneeling on the floor in front of him, putting on the shoes of the man in the wheelchair. The man in the wheelchair had long, untidy hair. When I entered the room, he suddenly screamed loudly again and again, and he started moving his head up and down. "Will, please," shouted his mother. "Please don't." "Oh, God, I can't do this," I thought. Then the man stopped screaming and looked at me. I'm Lou," I said. "It's short for Louisa." He smiled. "Good morning, Miss Clark," he said. The other man stood up. He was short, but his body looked strong. "You're a bad man, Will," he said, and smiled. "Very bad." Then he held out his hand. I'm Nathan, Will's nurse. Will likes to act like he's crazy. It frightens his care assistants. But he's not really bad. Mrs. Trainer started to move back through the door. I'll leave you all now, she said. Please call me if you need help, Louisa. She disappeared, and we listened to the sound of her feet walking across the hall outside. Miss Clark, can I tell you about what Will needs? Said Nathan, after a moment. Of course. I followed him into the kitchen. Okay, it's quite simple, he explained. Everything you need to know is here. He has these two pills every day, one in the morning, one at night. Then he needs these pills for his stomach. Nathan continued to show me lots of pills for Will's many different problems. It's a lot to remember, I said when he finished. It's all written here, he replied, and he gave me some papers. I will lift him when he needs it, and change his bag when he needs the toilet. He's not always an easy person to be with, but I like him. I followed him back to the living room. Will was sitting at the window with his back to us. I've finished work for the morning, said Nathan. Do you need anything else, Will? No, thank you, Nathan, replied Will, without turning round. I'll be back at lunchtime, Nathan said, putting on his jacket, smiling at me. Have fun. Then he was gone.